Shalom, Heverim. My friends, modern aviation has granted humanity some amazing vistas and has introduced perspectives hitherto quite unknown. Even the dust of the earth has yielded to the eye from the sky an abundance of treasured information, the very existence of which was unsuspected until viewed from above. Indeed, there have been instances where the patient dust of time's engulfing centuries has buried the proud glory of ancient cities so effectively that naught but the name remained to prompt the memory of man. But Earth's mute lips were forced to speak aloud the buried secret on the day the mechanical pinions of humanity invaded the airy roadways of the skies. Buried cities, safely invisible and unsuspected at ground level, suddenly became discernible, nay, even conspicuous, from the air. Even the situation and direction of buried walls became evident, whilst the locality of major interred structures became openly apparent. Aviation's bird's-eye view portrayed a picture sufficiently clear to entice to the scene the inquisitive spade of the archaeologist. The result was the unearthing of untold treasure, both historic and intrinsic. Even when the scene sought is not buried, but is above the ground level, a prior bird's eye view is a picturesque advantage. From the heights above, one can gain an indelible impression of the total scene, which lingers on when subsequently traversing the same locality on foot. I say this from personal experience. In the pursuit of my ministerial duties, I have been obliged, not infrequently, to travel by air, and on several occasions I have had the advantage of making an aerial encirclement of a city before descending from the skies to sojourn in it. By this means, I had the good fortune of possessing a fascinating mental bird's eye view, by which I was able to survey the immediate and near, thus thrown against the larger background of the vivid aerial mind picture of the total and remote. Now, let what I have said illustrate the method which I propose to adopt as we set out together to explore a mysterious and wonderful metropolis. A city which the choking dust of the ages has not been able to engulf and subdue. A city whose opalescent domes yet reflect the lucent rays of light divine into the dark recesses of human understanding. A city which, though scattering its immensities above the earthly surface for all who care to see, possesses yet foundations vast and wide, and mansions spacious and innumerable, buried deep beneath the normal plane of man's unaided knowledge, but which will yield, nevertheless, its profoundest secrets to the humble seeker after its treasures. This wealthiest city is the city of revealed truth, the Holy Scriptures. Instead of entering at once through the front gates of this glorious metropolis, and perhaps incurring the initial risk of being lost in its appealing domains, let us first ascend to the heights above it, and from there survey its total picture, discern the limiting walls of its application, the broad sweep of its avenues of verity, the localities and relationships of its many fountains of living waters. So then, we first capture a bird's-eye view of Tanakh before we descend and explore its wonders on foot. As we now ascend and survey the whole Tanakh from our aerial vantage point, we can observe three broad and commanding avenues of truth, and we now know why we Jewish people name this book of the Holy Scriptures, the Tanakh. The first imposing avenue before us is designated Torah. Although the Hebrew word Torah, which means law, is sometimes applied to the whole Bible, yet its prime application is to the first five books of Moses, known also in Hebrew as Chumash, which means five, and in English as Pentateuch, which also means five. The Ark in the synagogue contains the Torah, written in Hebrew on a parchment or sheepskin scroll, known as Sefer Torah, the Book of the Law. The second broad avenue of equally inspired divine revelation is named Nevi'im, meaning prophets, whilst the third and last celestial avenue of Scripture is called Ketuvim, meaning writings. Now, if we take the initial, that is, the first, Hebrew letter from each of these three Hebrew words, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, we obtain the consonantal sounds represented in English by the letters T, N, and K. Then, placing these three initials together and vocalizing them, we get the improvised word Tanakh, by which we refer at once to all the books of the so-called Old Testament, a collection of inspired scriptures which would be known more correctly as the Book of the Kingdom. Now let your eye return to the first broad avenue named Torah. Do you see it has five main traffic lanes of inspiration? In English, these are known familiarly as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But the Hebrew names of the Pentateuch are taken from the most dominant Hebrew word in the first sentence of each of the five books, and thus we get Bereshit from the word beginning in Genesis 1:1, Shmot from the word names in Exodus 1:1, Vayikra from the word called in Leviticus 1:1, Bemidbar from the word wilderness in Numbers 1:1, and Devarim from the word words in Deuteronomy 1:1. The second broad avenue of scripture revelation, Nevi'im, or prophets, has also three main traffic lanes of truth. Nevi'im Rishonim, the earlier prophets, Nevi'im Acharonim, the later prophets, and Tirei Asa, the 12 minor prophets, so called because their books were very short compared to other scriptures. The third broad avenue, Ketuvim, also has three main traffic lanes of truth, known respectively as the former writings, the five Megillot, and the latter writings. Such are the three broad avenues of veracity traversing the city of Tanakh, and we have had a bird's eye view of it, from which we have been able to make a splendid chart, upon which we have studied many additional details obtained from our place of vantage. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Lo'olam Vo'ed Yivarecha Adonai V'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha V'hunecha Yisar Adonai Panav Elecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his face unto thee and give thee peace. Amen.